from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end this edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. President Joko Widodo asks police and military chiefs to maintain security during Ramadan. President Joko Widodo tells the world that Indonesia is safe. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. President Joko Widodo has instructed the National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian, National Armed Forces Chief Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, and State Intelligence Board Chief General Budi Gunawan to work closely to maintain security during the fasting month of Ramadan. The President made the remarks at a plenary meeting attended by Vice President Yusuf Kalla and ministers of the Working Cabinet. The presidential instruction came after a series of bomb attacks hit three charges and a city police station in Surabaya and a flat in Sidoarjo, East Java, killing at least 18 people and injuring dozens. In Riau province, the police confirmed that they had shot that four suspected terrorists attempting to attack the Riau police headquarters in the provincial capital of Pekanbaru on Wednesday. President Joko Widodo further asked ministers and heads of non-ministerial government institutions to ensure that the country remains safe and the government focuses on working. President Joko Widodo has instructed all security officers from the police, military, and state intelligence agency to maintain and promote security concerning the rise of terrorist groups. As Antara News Agency reported, President Joko Widodo also asked his officials to convey to the international community that Indonesia is safe. In plenary session at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo asked security officers in maintaining security to promote the spirit of unity and social harmony. Especially now Muslims are carrying out fasting, the Islamic community can perform the worship with a sense of security and peace. Prior to conducting a plenary session, President Joko Widodo summoned a number of interfaith leaders and ranks of the Board of Ideology Development Pancasila at the State Palace on Wednesday. The government and the House of Representatives have agreed to immediately complete the revision of the Criminal Act on Terrorism as expected by President Joko Widodo, because it is a legal umbrella needed by the security apparatus of the armed forces and the national police to solve this terrorism problem. As Antara News Agency reported, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, affirmed that representatives of political parties, mainly government supporting parties at DPR, the House of Representatives, have promised an immediate settlement of the revision of the law. He views that the stipulation of the Criminal Act of Terrorism becomes very important to eradicate terrorist groups. The conflict between Palestine and Israel is still continuing and it results in many victims toward Palestinians. Israel troops keep shooting Palestinians over their rally. This was stated by political observer of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Hamdan Bashar, after attending national seminar of the 20th anniversary of Indonesian Reformation and Auditorium of LIPI in Jakarta on Tuesday.
I think we must keep being consistent.
It means that the consistency has free and active politics. This does not mean that we want to have a friend like Israel or to take side. But we defend the right group and criticize the wrong party internationally. We must defend the right one. Israel is in the wrong position because it colonialized Palestine. Therefore, we encourage a two-state solution. This is not the appropriate time for us to be close with Israel. Our position is to keep our constitution that is against colonialism. Hamdan Basar also explained that Indonesia is one of states that keeps on participating actively to encourage the independence of Palestine over Israel colonialism. He added that it is better for Indonesia to take concrete effort by inviting Organization of Islamic Cooperation to fight for independence of Palestine. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government of Indonesia and PT Inka explored the railroad and railway sales opportunities to Egypt. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Helmi Fauji said that he held a meeting with Transportation Minister of Republic of Egypt, Hesam Arafat Mali, and his staff on Tuesday in Cairo. The meeting that took place at the Egyptian Ministry of Transportation office discussed the opportunity for cooperation between the two countries in the field of railway. He also explained that Minister Hesam welcomed the initiative of Indonesia and hoped the government of Indonesia can participate in various projects being and will be built by the government of Egypt, such as rejuvenation of locomotives and carriages and construction of new railways. To follow up this meeting, a working team will soon be arranged to prepare everything in support of this partnership. It's very, very positive. The Egyptian Transportation Minister requested us to make a teamwork and technical level meeting with his staffs to realize this cooperation more concretely. They are interested in carriage itself. Since 2016, the state-owned company PT Inka has visited Egypt several times to explore cooperation opportunities between Indonesia and Egypt in the field of railway. In early July, PT Inka will take part in a bid to procure 2 locomotives and 6 carriages in Cairo. At the end of the meeting, Ambassador Halmi and Mr. Hesam agreed to explore further cooperation opportunities in the railway. Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt, reaffirmed its commitment to the government and people of Indonesia in developing moderate and open Islam. This was stated by Grand Sheikh Al-Azhar Ahmad Mohammed Tayeb in a meeting with Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Helmi Fauji, Deputy Chief of Police Commissioner General Safruddin, and Indonesian Muslim scholar Komarudin Hidayat in Cairo on Sunday. Ambassador Helmi Fauji said that Al-Azhar agreed in assisting Indonesia in the form of training for mosques, boat, da'i, and curriculum development and placement of Al-Azhar lecturers at International Islamic University of Indonesia. Indonesian mosques management will receive training in Al-Azhar, Cairo. During the training that lasts 1 to 2 months, Al-Azhar provides actual material such as terrorism, women's diseases, and fanatical groups. There was strengthening of the Indonesian Mosque Council, the training of mosque administrators, the management of the mosque, and the capacity building to improve the imam's ability in the mosque, because the mosque is where people ask about various issues concerning the Islamic Ummah. Al-Azhar will assist the training of the da'i, the mosque administrator.
Pelatihan-pelatihan, baik para da'i, pengurus masjid.
Meanwhile, Grand Sheikh Mohammed Tayeb pointed out that currently Al-Azhar is necessary to intervene and have word of the entry of new groups that infiltrate Indonesian Muslims. The Indonesian government representatives in Egypt, Ambassador Helmi Fauji, on the first eve of Ramadan, visited a number of Indonesian students currently studying at Cairo's Al-Azhar University, Egypt. This opportunity is also used to hear the input of his residents in Egypt. In a dialogue with a number of students, Ambassador Helmi Fauji advised that during Ramadan, they can arrange their time to study and worship. During the fasting month, Embassy of Cairo has prepared a number of activities for Indonesian citizens living in Egypt, such as breaking their fast together every Friday, Tarawih prayer every day, food bazaar in mid-month fasting, and many others.
Ya, kalau kita lihat warga negara Indonesia di Mesir ini juga sangat antusias.
If we look at the citizens in Egypt, they are very enthusiastic to welcome Ramadan. Meanwhile, the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia itself prepares a number of events to welcome this Ramadan. We have started with Ramadan welcoming ceremony by holding bazaar for daily basic needs, and later in the mosque of Cairo, the embassy will hold reading of Holy Quran and Tarawih. The students welcomed the visit of Ambassador Halmi Fauji and the embassy in Cairo. They expressed their preparations in welcoming Ramadan. However, this year Ramadan is the same time with the exam season at Al-Azhar University. Ambassador Halmi Fauji hoped that the students are able to do their exam smoothly. Well, listener, that was the news.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Ramadan Creates Peace and Tranquility. Today, Tuesday, May 17, 2018, all Muslims in Indonesia and other parts of the world begin to perform fasting. The first day of fasting takes place shortly after a series of terrorist attacks in Surabaya and Sidoarjo East Java province, which killed a total of 14 people. Regardless of whether or not there is a direct connection between the act of terrorists and the month of Ramadan, the action to terrorize the public may be said to fail. This can be seen from the crowds of people who shopped for the next in the early Ramadan in crowded places such as shopping malls or traditional markets and entertainment venues. Similar crowds are also seen in mosques or musallas filled with people performing the fast Tarawih prayers. Ramadan is a glorious month and a blessing for Muslims. During this Ramadan, all Muslims are obliged to fulfill fasting in a broad sense. They must be able to restrain from not only hunger, thirst, but also anger and patience not to consume excessive food. Those who are fasting are strictly forbidden to commit sin, let alone killing someone. The Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI, appeals for Indonesian Muslims to make the holy month of Ramadan a moment of self-improvement. MUI also asks for the public to do a lot of social activities. Ramadan is an excellent momentum to develop an attitude of tolerance in the practice of religion, not to be trapped in a conflict or dispute because of differences in religions, especially after the recent occurrence of series of terror acts in Surabaya, East Java. Ramadan is the perfect time for Muslims to enlighten other followers of religions about the true meaning of Islam. Islam never teaches to do something evil. President Joko Widodo at the National Halal Kabul Weton and the Declaration National Movement Ot Mubalik Bela Negara at Pondok Gede Haj Dormitory in East Jakarta on Monday emphasized that Islam never teaches violence, not to mention teaching terror among people. He views that Islam actually teaches his people to be gentle, polite, and respectful to others. Therefore, it is proper that Ramadan can be used as a momentum to create peace and tranquility in the community. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on May 17, 1950 when Association of Indonesian Publishers was established. Association of Indonesian Publishers was established on May 17, 1950 in Jakarta on the initiative and agreement of Sun National Publisher at the time. In addition to encouragement to replace foreign publisher position, especially the Dutch, which still monopolize book publishing activities in the country, the establishment of Association of Indonesian Publishers was also imbued with a great desire to help the government establishing brilliant Indonesian people. When the establishment of the association only consists of 13 publishers, now the number of its members has reached around 650 publishers throughout Indonesia. According to the history, the Association of Indonesian Publishers still exists as the only one book publisher organization which is able to fight and to search various consent of its members. And the next event is that in 1980, National Library was established. Indonesian National Library is located in Jakarta. It has a duty to store state's data and information. The library is also one of the government's agencies, non-department, which is under and responsible to the president. Earlier, the library was one of the realizations of the implementation and development of the national system of the library as a whole and integrated. Since it was planned its establishment on May 17, 1980 by the then Minister of Education and Culture, Daud Yusuf. The agency is the result of integration of the four major libraries in Jakarta. Well, listener, the last event is about National Book Day. The determination of May 17 as National Book Day was the initiative of Education Minister of Mutual Cooperation Cabinet Abdul Malik Fajar since 2002. The decision of National Book Day is hoped to be able to encourage reading interest of Indonesian people, as well as to increase book sales. The date was chosen based on the date of the establishment of Indonesian National Library on May 7. 1980. The commemoration of Book Day is often related to reading interest in Indonesia, which is still low. From study data of most literate nation in the world, which has been released by Central Connecticut State University in 2016, Indonesia ranked the 60th from 61 countries. The position was under Thailand and above Botswana. To grow up a book reading becomes a challenge for every individual. However, National Book Day commemoration is able to give positive impact in making people aware about the importance of book. Even to enliven the day, some institutions such as National Library holds event activities aiming to invite people to visit the library. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about Social Forestry and Timber Legality Verification System, SVLK, support the achieving the goals of the International Forestry Strategic Plan. The escalation of access and ownership of local communities through the 12.7 million hectares of social forestry program and 4.1 million hectares of land reform object is one of Indonesia's efforts to support the United Nations Strategic Plan for Forest 2017 to 2030, including the Voluntary National Contribution, or VNC. This was conveyed by Dr. Agus Justianto, Head of Research and Development and Innovation, Environment and Forestry Ministry, at the 13th United Nations Forum on Forests, UNFF 13, in New York on May 7 to 11. In addition, Indonesia also held the Timber Legality Verification System to promote the sustainable forest management. Agus Justianto also said, in the meeting, Indonesia expressed its commitment on the 6 Global Forest Goals in Voluntary National Contribution, VNC, that has been ratified through multi-stakeholders mechanism. The UNFF 13 finally produced 2 important documents, namely Document of Forest-Based Solutions for Accelerating the Achievement of Sustainable Development Goals, SDG, and Transformation Toward Sustainable and Tough Community. The second document is UNFF 13 Omnibus Resolution, covering various steps to the implementation of the UN Strategic Plan to UNSPF Forests. As the following step from the result of UNFF 13, Agus Justianto viewed that Indonesia needs to complete Voluntary National Contribution, VNC, to encourage the development of sustainable national forestry. Meanwhile, in the near future, Indonesia will also increase cooperation with the National Focal Points, NFP, of other international agreements, such as the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, the UN Convention on Biodiversity, UNCBD, the United Nations to Combat Desertification, UNCCD, and International Agreement for Conservation and the Sustainable Use of Wetlands. In the 5-day session, the Indonesian delegation, besides from the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, were also representatives from the National Forestry Council, the Indonesian Association of Forest Concessionaires, or APFI, Permanent Mission of the Republic of Indonesia, PTRI, New York, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pane. President Joko Widodo has instructed the National Police Chief, General Tito Karnavian, National Armed Forces Chief, Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, and State Intelligence Board Chief, General Budi Gunawan, to work closely to maintain security during the fasting month of Ramadan. President Joko Widodo has instructed all security officers from the police, military, and state intelligence agency to maintain and promote security concerning the rise of terrorist group. As Antara News Agency reported, President Joko Widodo also asked his officials to convey to the international community that Indonesia is safe. The government and the House of Representatives have agreed to immediately complete the revision of the Criminal Act on Terrorism as expected by President Joko Widodo, because it is a legal umbrella needed by the security apparatus of the armed forces and the national police to solve this terrorism problem. The conflict between Palestine and Israel is still continuing, and it results in many victims towards Palestinians. Israel troops keep shooting Palestinians after their rally. This was stated by political observer of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Levi Hamdan Bashar, after attending national seminar of the 20th anniversary of Indonesian Reformation at Auditorium of Lippi in Jakarta on Tuesday. The government of Indonesia and PT Inka explored the railroad and railway sales opportunities to Egypt. Indonesian ambassador to Egypt, Helmi Fauji, said that he held a meeting with Transportation Minister of Republic of Egypt, Hesham Arafat Mahdi, and his staff on Tuesday in Cairo. Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt, reaffirmed its commitment to the government and people of Indonesia in developing moderate and open Islam. This was stated by Grand Sheikh Al-Azhar Ahmad Mohammed Tayeb in a meeting with Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Helmi Fauji, Deputy Chief of Police Commissioner General Safruddin, and Indonesian Muslim scholars Komarudin Hidayat in Cairo. The Indonesian government representative in Egypt, Ambassador Helmi Fauji, on the first eve of Ramadan, visited a number of Indonesian students currently studying at Cairo's Al-Azhar University, Egypt. This opportunity is also used to hear the input of his residents in Egypt. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce the carbide cannon tradition in Pontianak. Stay tuned. In Indonesia, most Muslims have the same tradition in celebrating Idul Fitri or Lebaran. They are going home to celebrate Lebaran, Eid prayer, gathering and pilgrimage. Muslims also serve rice cake or ketupat and chicken curry or opor ayam as a special culinary of Lebaran. In addition, Indonesia also has a variety of customs, tribes and cultures. One of the unique traditions connected with Lebaran is the tradition of Meriam Karbit or Carbide Cannon in Pontianak, West Kalimantan. The Carbide Cannon tradition has an interesting history. Perhaps in ancient times, the Sultanate of Kadriah in Pontianak, which was established in 1771 to 1808, rang cannon to expel the ghosts. Because at that time, the first Pontianak king, Sharif Abdurrahman Al-Khatri, when opened the land for his residence in Pontianak, was disturbed by the ghosts. Then the Sultan ordered his troops to drive the ghosts by cannon. In addition, the loud sound of the carbide cannon usually signifies the time of Maghrib or evening prayer for Muslims. As time goes by, the carbide cannon is lively performed for tourist attraction. The cannon is made of durian wood or coconut tree and then tied with a rope so that the cannon does not move when thunder. Moreover, the cannon is painted with interesting colors. The carbide cannon is approximately 4 to 7 meters long. This meriam is perforated in the middle to ignite the fire until produce the boom sound. For one game, it takes about 3 to 5 ounces of carbide. Listener, the cannon that will be participated in the traditional carbide cannon games must follow the requirements set by the Carbide Cannon Tradition Community Forum, Art and Culture of Pontianak. These requirements are, among others, the cannon should be decorated with various decorations such as the background of the mosque. Therefore, to make one cannon, it is required about 3 to 5 million rupiah. The game of Carbide Cannon Tradition is a unique game which usually performed to welcome the Eid al-Fitri. Even the traditional game of carbide cannon is currently contested. It is already included in the tourism calendar and highly awaited by Pontianak people. The carbide tradition game, located along the banks of the Kapuas River. Usually the game started since Lebaran -3 in the evening. The carbide cannons are lined on two sides of the Kapuas River. Approaching Maghrib or evening prayer, one of the cannons is shot to initiate it as the time to break the fast. The sounding is very loud, even sounded up to a radius of 5 kilometers. Listener, that was the regular segment of Indonesian Wonderful Today with the topic Carbide Cannon Tradition in Pontianak, West Kalimantan. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia. Here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tobati language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tobati language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tobati speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tobati language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tobati language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tobati language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tobati language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tobati language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tobati language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tobati language. Engu, engu, in English, I, entrica, entrica, in English, they. One, want, in English, eat. Nasre, nasre, in English, popeda. Moghot, moghot, in English, mount. Recau, recau, in English, to hike. Rora, rora, in English, yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tobati language. Nu nasre want. Nu nasre want. In English, I eat popeda. Rora entrica mogot recau. Rora entrica mogot recau. In English, yesterday, they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tobati language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present some religious nostalgic songs from the Indonesian music group, Bimbo. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Selamat Datang Ramadan. Happy listening.
Selamat datang Ramadan. Selamat datang Ramadan. Selamat datang Ramadan. Selamat datang Ramadan. Menangkanlah rukun ketiga. Menangkanlah perang yang besar. Menangkanlah jihad yang akbar. Berhimpunlah di padang doa. Tarawih, zikir dan itikaf. Petik bunga-bunga ibadah.
Terima karunia ilahi sepanjang bulan Ramadan dan malam seribu bulan. Bertaburan nikmat karunia ilahi sepanjang bulan Ramadan dan malam seribu bulan.
Selamat datang ya Ramadan. Selamat datang ya Ramadan.
Los Bimbos was the forerunner of Bimbo Group, formed in 1967. Its personnel consists of three brothers, Sam, Achil, and Jaka. In the mid-1970s, Trio Los Bimbos was later changed into Bimbo by adding a personnel, Iin Parlina, the younger sister. Along with Iin Parlina, the group began to compose the songs which describe about daily life themes, such as Abang Beca. Entering the era of the 1980s, Bimbo began to make songs of social criticism and religious songs. Their first religious song entitled Tuhan. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tuhan by Bimbo. Enjoy the song.
Segala perlu Tuhan, Tuhan yang maha esa, tempat aku memuja dengan segala doa. Aku jauh engkau, aku dekat engkau dekat. Hati adalah cermin, tempat pahala dan dosa dengan segala doa. Thank you.
That was the song Tuhan, sung by Bimbo. The song was composed by Sam, who was inspired after he performed Friday Prayer. The lyrics of this song were made by a famous Indonesian poet, Taufik Ismail. The lyrics are simple but have a deep meaning wrapped with a touch of music from Sam, and the characteristic vocal of Bimbo make it becomes a legendary song and very famous among people, especially the music lovers. Until now, the song is still often played, especially during the holy month of Ramadan. This song tells about the greatness of God as a substance of the Almighty. If we come closer to God, then God certainly will be close to us. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
Sajadah panjang terbentang dari kaki buayan sampai ke tepi kuburan hamba, kuburan hamba bila mati. Ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan sujud. Di atas sajadah yang panjang ini diselingi sekedar interupsi. Mencari rezeki, mencari ilmu, mengukur jalanan seharian. Begitu terdengar suara azan, kembali tersungkur hamba. Ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan ruku. Hamba sujud tak lepas kening hamba, mengingat di kau sepenuhnya. Mencari rezeki, mencari ilmu, mengukur jalanan seharian. Begitu terdengar suara azan, kembali tersungkur hamba. Ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan ruku. Hamba sujud tak lepas kening hamba, mengingat di kau sepenuhnya. Mengingat di kau sepenuhnya.
Ararai World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Ararai World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Nafas pada bulan suci Quran turun ke bumi, Quran turun ke bumi. Warga satwa tak berbunyi, gunung menahan nafasnya, pohon-pohon tunduk dalam gelapan pada bulan suci Quran.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.